But we have been in the book of Luke for Luke chapter 10, and we're going to be reading out of Luke chapter 10 again today. And we're going to, if you'll remember last week, we talked about Jesus sending out the 70. And he sent out 70 and he told them, I'm going to give you power to heal, power over sickness. And then what we're going to read, we talked about that last week. And now what we're going to talk about this week, we're going to, if you'd stand, we're going to read just three verses. This won't take long. And then you can sit down and I'll be the guy standing up. But Luke chapter 10, verses 17, 18, 19, and 20. So four verses of scripture today in your hearing. So last week, Jesus sent the 70 out. Now the 70 are coming back. He sent them out to preach. Now they are coming back. And it says the 72, some manuscripts say 70, some say 72. I don't really want to, it's kind of an interesting thing to study out, but I'm not going to get into that today. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, and this is a perplexing line, and I'll talk a little bit about this. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. We'll talk about that. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. And this is really my real theme today. He said, don't rejoice in that demons are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And so I want to talk for a little while today about written in heaven. And I realize this might seem like a very simple message. And I figure that everybody here probably knows what I'm going to be saying today, but this is a topic that comes up a lot in the scripture, and so we're going to talk about it. I want to talk about written in heaven. So let's worship the Lord one more time, God. We're so thankful for your word. Lord, we pray that you would let your word have free flow in this service today, God. Let your word accomplish something in us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can be seated today. One thing here I want to say before we get off on where I want to go with this message is, he said, I've given you authority to tread on serpents. And I'm going to tell you, this has nothing to do with my message, but I just want to say this while it's on my mind. He said, I give you authority to tread on serpents. And I took that authority this week. I don't even think I told Sister Wiggins. But I took that authority this week to tread on serpents. It was it would have been Friday morning, and I was taking our little dog, the one that's gotten sick. I was taking her for a walk, and it was a warm morning, very warm. And as my right foot was coming down, I looked, and here came about a 20-inch long snake. It's getting warm enough for those out of the bushes. And I was ready to just tread on that serpent. And I did what would actually very nearly resemble, it was almost like one of those ballerina dancers. And I don't want to feel effeminate, but I mean, that snake was right there. And I mean, it was like I was going to get, you know how they get up on one toe and stand on one toe and spin around? That's kind of what resembles what I was doing. And so I wish I would have had this scripture a little more firmly entrenched in my mind. Maybe I would have, but needless to say, I definitely did a tap dance on that. But Jesus, they came back and they said, Lord, you sent us out to heal and to preach that the kingdom is at hand, that your kingdom is coming. And they said, Lord, not only do we have power to heal, not only do we have all of that, but even the demons are subject to us through your name. And then Jesus says something that has perplexed a lot of people for years. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And some people say that what Jesus was talking about was referring to a time in ancient times that when that Satan would have been in heaven and got kicked out of heaven. I personally don't believe that Jesus was talking about that. I believe that basically Jesus was inaugurating his kingdom here on earth. And when they went out, he sent them out to these cities and they began to preach. And they began to preach the name of Jesus, to preach the kingdom of God coming. And Jesus told them, listen, while you guys were out there healing and preaching in my name, I saw Satan's kingdom begin to crumble and to come down. In other words, my kingdom is starting to be established on this earth. And that's what I think Jesus was saying. He said, listen, while you guys were out there preaching and teaching and healing the sick, I saw Satan's kingdom falling like lightning from heaven. And I just want to tell you, I love being on the winning team. I love being on the winning team. And Jesus established a church and a kingdom that's never going to pass away. And they might make it illegal. They might make it to where the church has to go underground. But I don't care what circumstances occur. There's always going to be a church. There's always going to be people gathering together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to go on. The church is bigger than you. The church is bigger than me. It's bigger than us. This is his purpose in the earth. And they went out and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. And he said, yeah, I saw his kingdom beginning to fall. And then he told them this. He said, listen, you enjoyed having that kind of power here on this earth. That he gave them power to heal the sick. He gave them power even over demons. And he says, you enjoy having that power here on this earth, but do not rejoice in that. You need to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In other words, don't be excited about what power you have down here on earth. Be excited about what kind of representation your name's going to have in heaven. And this got me to thinking about, we've heard the term the book of life in the Bible. The Bible talks about the book of life. And so if I can today, I want to talk about the book of life. I want to talk about the book of life. And when you look, Jesus says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In other words, that somewhere in heaven, there would be a written record with your name on it. And you need to rejoice in the fact that in heaven, your name is written. And if you go back, all the way back to the book of Exodus, near the beginning of the Bible, in Exodus 32, Israel had sinned. They had done wickedly before God, and Moses was going to God, asking God to forgive them. And Moses said this. Moses returned to the Lord and said, alas, this people have sinned a great sin. They have made for themselves gods of gold. In other words, children of Israel had made idols. He says, but now, if you are willing, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, Moses said, please blot me out of your book that you have written. And so all the way back in Exodus, Moses had knowledge that there was a book. There was a book that was written. And he said, you know what? If you not forgive them, then I'm not any better than they are. I'm just as sinful as they are. And you know what? You probably need to blot my name out of the book as well. And if you look at one of the Psalms of David, in the 69th Psalm, he's talking about the wicked. And David said about the wicked, he says, let them be, Psalm 69:28, let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Okay? Look at Revelation 3 and 5, all the way toward the end of the Bible now. Revelation 3 and 5, he told the church, he said, to the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. Let's go back into the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 4. I want to show you this concept. This idea of a book of life is prevalent all the way from Exodus, all the way out through the very end of Revelation. It's there all. Look, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 3. He who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who has been recorded for life. In other words, there was a divine record kept. I want to read another one. Daniel chapter 12. It's just all over the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 12, a very complex passage, hard to understand. But it says, at that time shall Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. Now, I'm going to give you my speculation here today, okay? I want to give you my speculation. There have been times in my life that I have thought of the book of life as something that's just metaphoric for God can remember. Like, for example, remember how David did a lot of crying when Saul was chasing him through the wilderness trying to kill him? And in one place, David wrote, he says, I think it was David that wrote, he says, my tears you have put in a bottle. Well, that's just kind of, I don't think that there was a literal bottle up in heaven with David's tears in it. I think David was just saying, listen, metaphorically, you know every tear I cry, God. It's as though my tears were up in a bottle up in heaven that you know the tears I've cried. So I think in that case that David was speaking metaphorically, and that there's not a little bottle up in heaven with my tears, another bottle with Brother Getz's tears. I don't think that's what David was talking about. And there have been times in my life where I've wondered about the book of life to say, well, is that book of life, is that just a way of making a play on words to talk about, you know, the mind and the memory of God? But then I got to thinking this. Do you believe in a real throne in heaven? I do. Isaiah chapter 6, remember Isaiah saw a vision? He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, and his veil filled the temple, and there was a throne there. Ezekiel had a vision of the throne room of God. And so I believe in a literal throne. I believe in a literal throne. Isaiah chapter 6 talks about angels flying around the throne. I believe in literal angels. So my question to you is this. If there's really a throne, a literal throne in heaven, or if there's really literal angels in heaven, why can't there be a literal book in heaven? That it's not some metaphoric thing to say, oh, yeah, that's just talking about God's mind and God's memory. No. What if there could be a literal book, a physical book of life in heaven? And that's what Jesus was referring to when they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. And he says, that's great. I'm glad about that. But don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written down in the book. You know what? That's what I live for, church. That's what we live for. I want our names to be in the book. I want our names to be in the book. Paul, when he was wrote to the church in Philippi, he was commending some women that had helped him in his ministry. You look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Paul said, yes, I ask you also, true companion. He's calling the church in Philippi a true companion. And he says, I ask you, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Paul was saying, listen, I want you to remember these women that have labored so diligently and strong with me in my missionary travels, whose names are in the book of life. Hebrews chapter number 12, verses 22 and 23, it says, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, not the earthly Jerusalem, but to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering." And listen to this, verse 23, to the assembly of the firstborn who are what? Enrolled in heaven. In other words, that somewhere in heaven, there is a roll. There is an enrollment form that you've got, your name has got to be in the book. Amen. Your name has got to be in the book. I'm going to tell you, it's embarrassing to show up to a restaurant and they can't find your name on the reservation list. Now, I'll be honest with you, the kind of restaurants that me and Sister Wiggins usually go to don't really require reservations, okay? But when you walk up there and you've got people in line behind you, how embarrassing would it be to say, "Oh, I'm sorry, but your name is not on the list. Your name is not on the list." Church, I'm here to tell you today, I believe in a literal, real book. That it's the book of life, and your name needs to be in the book. Your name needs to be in the book. Look at Revelation 13 and 8. We started off in Exodus. Now we're all the way in the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible. Revelation 13 and 8, speaking of the beast. It says, "And the beast and the mark of the beast," it says, "all who dwell on the earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb." Look at Revelation 17 and 8. "The beast that you saw and is not and is about to rise from the bottomless pit to go into destruction, and the dwellers on the earth whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world." You know what? You need to have your name written above. You need to, everything that's in you, everything that you're, if you don't accomplish anything else in this life, if you never make that $1 million, and I hope you do, if you never get to have that great big house on the hill, and I hope you get it. But if you never get that, if you can have your name written in the book of life. I'm telling you, it starts all the way in Exodus, goes through the prophets, it's in Daniel, it's in Isaiah, you get in, Jesus talked about it, now we're all the way over in the book of Revelation, and they're still talking about it. In fact, there are 22 chapters in the book of Revelation, and the last time that the book of life is referred to is chapter 21. Almost the very end of the Bible, you go to Revelation 21 and 27, this is the final mention. And it says, "But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book." You know what? Nothing. I want to tell you something. If you don't have that, it doesn't matter what you've got here on this earth. It doesn't matter. Jesus, they said, "Lord, we were out there and we've got all this power that you've given us. We've got power over sickness. We've got power over demons." And Jesus was saying, "Listen, don't worry about what kind of power you have here on this earth. What you nearly need to worry about is that your names are written in heaven." And I'm here today to tell you that needs to be your focus. We're here to be Christians. We're here to keep ourselves tuned up. We're here to keep ourselves walking on a narrow path that hope that's going to lead us to heaven. We're here today because our name, I want my name written. I want my name written. You know, in the 139th Psalm, remember how when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, what did they do when God came around? What did they do? They went and hid themselves. And I've raised 3 kids. And when somebody's done something wrong, and I don't know which kid it is, but I call all 3 of them to me, and 2 of them come, you pretty well know, okay? And it's like Adam and Eve, You know, they sinned in the Garden of Eden, so when God came around, they wanted to run away and hide as much as they could. But look at the difference between that and what David said in the 139th Psalm. In the 139th Psalm, David said, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting." What David was saying, "God, listen, I don't want any part of me to be hidden from you. I don't want to hide from you. Search my heart, O God. Search my thoughts. Try me. Make sure that I want to be right. I want to be saved. I don't want to believe a lie." Paul told the church in Corinth, he said, "Examine." This is 2 Corinthians 13. He says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith." In other words, Paul isn't telling you to doubt your salvation. Paul isn't telling you to walk around with an axe over your head all the time, being afraid of, "Man, am I in the faith or not?" No, he's not telling you to doubt your salvation. Paul is telling you, be careful with your salvation. Don't take your salvation for granted. Don't take your salvation as just, yeah, I got that. I got that all down. Now let me get on with the rest of my life. No, everything you're doing right now in this, you need to be doing, preparing yourself to make sure that ultimately your name is in the book. Philippians chapter 2. Have you ever heard somebody, this is a much misused scripture. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, listen, I'm just doing what the Bible says. You work out your own salvation, and I'll just work out my own salvation with fear and trembling." Well, that's what this scripture says. He says that the last part of this verse says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And again, some people say, "Well, yeah, you know what? You work out your own salvation, I'll work out mine." You know, it doesn't work that way. There's a common salvation. We're all saved the same way. Paul's not talking about that. Let me tell you what Paul is talking about here. He said, "Now, not only in my presence, but even in my absence." In other words, when Paul was right there, they were going to walk a straight line, weren't they? When Paul was right there, it was like, "Oh, Paul's here. Oh, yeah, well, Paul's here. We'll show up to church early for prayer." Okay? You know, you're going to, when Paul's here, "Oh, yeah. Honey, can help me get this shirt's got wrinkles in it. Paul's going to be here." Paul says, "Listen, I know that you're careful about your salvation when I'm here. But even more so in my absence, I want you to be careful about your salvation. You need to, every day when you get up, you say, 'You know what? I want my name written in the book. I want my name written in the book.'" There is nothing more important than your name being written in the book. The last verse I'm going to read today, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, in fact, let's all stand today. Here's another much misunderstood and much misused scripture over the years. It says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay." And the King James says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." And there's been a lot of emphasis over the years placed on the vessels. Saying, "We're the vessels, we're the vessels, we're the vessels." Well, let me tell you something. The vessel is just a vessel. Back in those days, Carl, did you get that photo that I sent? If you look in the previous verses right before here in 2 Corinthians 4, he was talking about the light, the glory, light of the glorious gospel, having Jesus' light. And in those days, in the marketplace, there were these little clay-type lamps that were very, very inexpensive. And here it is right here. I got this off of the internet. They were just little clay vessels. And what you would do is you would pour the oil in here, and then just stick something for a wick down in there. And you had a lamb. And these were cheap. These were very inexpensive. You could go in the marketplace, you could buy them cheap. And you know, clay was a little bit different. You know, if it's glass, believe it or not, in the early days of glass, it was so precious that when you broke glass, people would keep it because you could take it and remelt it down and remake a glass. You could. And or if a vessel was out of metal, if it developed a hole, you could repair it. But if the vessel was made out of clay, if it broke, you just tossed it and bought another one. There wasn't any fixing. And Paul said, you know what? Inside of us is this glorious knowledge of, he says, the light. Just like this lamp would give off light. This is why I think Paul was making mention of this. Because in the verse before, he talks about the light. But you know what? It's not the beauty is in the light. The beauty is not in the vessel. Because if that vessel breaks, we're just going to toss it out and go buy another one. And Paul said, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, which is right here. And this earthen vessel is getting older and weaker every day. But you know what? There is a book. There is a book in heaven. And it's called the Book of Life. And I want my name written there. I said the last verse I'll read. Can I read one other place while I'm going to read this and then we're done. Revelation chapter 20 is accepted by many people, including myself, to be the day of judgment. What people refer to as quote unquote the great white throne judgment. And no, I'm not making some grandstand play to scare people down to pray. I don't operate with that kind of manipulation. I just want to read the scripture here. He said, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And verse 15 says, and if anyone's name was not found written in the Book of Life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You know what? I don't understand everything about Revelation. And I got a lot more questions than I do answers, but I'll tell you this much. I want my name in the book. I want that little lady sitting right there. I want her name in the book. There's nothing, there's no greater purpose in my life. I met her. I don't want to tell you how young she was when we started dating because you'd think bad about me. Let's just put it this way. I was 17. When we started dating, I was 17 and she was 15. Don't let your kids date me. But I want to tell you something. If we can live, we've been married this July, will be 39 years we've been married. 39 years. If my name is written in the book and her name is written in the book, there is no greater purpose. We've achieved it. Make sure your name's written in the book. Make sure your name's written in the book. Let's worship the Lord right now. Oh God, I'm so thankful for you. Thankful for you, Jesus. God, I want to bless your name. Oh, Jesus, you're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. She's going to sing and just take a few moments to pray. Seek the Lord right where you are. Asking you, Lord, to have your way. worship the Lord today. God, we're so thankful for you. God, I want to bless your name. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I want my name in the book. I want my name in the book. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You know, I'll just say this last thing and then let it go. I listened to an interview by a guy that was a former reporter. He's retired. And he was a reporter when John F. Kennedy was president. And he said back in those days, he says all the press, there was actually room on Air Force One for the press to get on. There was a little part of Air Force One, that big jet, you know, that the president flies in, for the media to get on. And so if he was going to ride somewhere, they'd just ride in the same plane as the president. And this reporter said, he goes, we're back in our part of the aircraft where the reporter's supposed to hang out. And he says, all of a sudden, this carpet, not carpet, but this curtain just tears open. And he goes, standing there is John F. Kennedy. And he had a cigar. I guess they smoked on planes those days. And he says he had a cigar. And he says he walked up to me. This guy was a reporter. And he said, John F. Kennedy said, hey, he said, what if we piled this thing up? And he said, what do you mean pile this thing up? He goes, what if this plane crashed and went down? What do you think would happen? And the guy goes, I don't know. I guess we'd all die. He says, I'll tell you what would happen. The next day in the newspaper, my name would be in a whole lot bigger print than yours would. He's just making a joke. But you know, I don't care whether my name is written like this in block bold letters. I don't care if it's just a small little print back. Hey, my last name starts with W. I've always had to go to the end of the line. Every line I've ever been in school, you know, there was alphabetical order. I've always been the last. So I don't care if my name is all the way back at the back and it's just a little hand-scrawled note that some angel had put in there. I don't care. But let my name be in the book. I want my name in the book. Amen. Let's lift our hands one more time. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God.